Sri Krishna Tirubhav and the Pandavas Tyag. Arjuna went to Dwarka to visit Sri Krishna and the Yadus to inquire about Krishna's future programs of action. Arjuna was gone from the capital for a few months, and during his absence, Yudhisthira saw many inauspicious things that indicated a change, and fear penetrated his heart. The seasons were disrupted in the regularity. People became very proud, greedy, angry, deceitful. People became noticeably proud, greedy, angry, and deceitful. I mean, this is 5,000 years ago. Yudhisthira noticed these irregularities in his kingdom in Delhi, in India. What to speak of now? Many citizens were practicing abominable means of livelihood, and ordinary transactions were polluted with cheating, even among friends. There was constant misunderstanding between husband, wives, parents, and children, and even brothers and well-wishers. Observing this, Yudhisthira anxiously said to Bhima, "I sent Arjuna to Dwarka 7 months ago. It seems that Krishna is about to disappear from the earth as Narada predicted. Due to Krishna's mercy alone, we became so opulent and attained good wives and control over many subjects and victory over our enemies. Look, Bhim, how evil omens are manifesting due to the onset of Kali Yuga. My left side is quivering, and my heart is racing at fear. Look at that she-jackal. She's howling at the rising sun, and fire is coming out of her mouth. The dogs are barking at me fearlessly. Cows are passing me on the inauspicious left side, while donkeys are circumambulating me. When my horses look at me, they start crying. The owls and the crows are shrieking ominously, making my heart tremble. The sky has no clouds, yet it is thundering loudly. And violent winds are blowing everywhere, and dust is clouding all directions, creating dense darkness. And it seems at night that the stars are fighting each other. Rivers, lakes, and the mind of the people are all agitated, and butter no longer burns, curiously enough. What extraordinary time is coming upon us. The cows no longer give milk. They simply stand still with tears in their eyes. The temple deities seem to be crying, perspiring, and about to depart. The cities, villages, and countryside appear to be devoid of beauty and bereft of happiness. I think these omens indicate a great loss to the good fortune of the world. The footprints of Krishna made the earth fortunate, but now these inauspicious signs indicate something ominous. Just then Arjuna returned, but as he bowed down before him, Maharaj could see that the pale face of Arjuna was marked with unprecedented dejection. Arjuna held his head low and tears glided from his lotus eyes. Remembering Narada Muni's prediction, Yudhisthira inquired from Arjuna, "Please tell me whether our friends and relatives, the Madhu, Bhoja, Dasharha, Arha, Satvata, Andaka, and Jaru dynasties are passing their days in happiness. is my grandfather Shurasen, my maternal uncle Vasudev, Balaram, the personality of Godhead, Uridika, and his son Kritavarma, Kamsa's father Ugrasen, and Krishna's sons Pradyumna, Shushena, Charudeshna, Samba, Rishabh, are they all faring well? Is Krishna enjoying his life at Dwarka, surrounded by his friends and relatives? My dear Arjun, is your health all right? You seem to be pale. Have you been neglected or disrespected by others because of staying so long in Dwarka? Has someone addressed you harshly or threatened you? Did you fail to keep a promise? Or did you not give charity to a deserving person? Could you not give protection to brahmanas, children, cows, women, or diseased persons that had approached you for shelter? Have you contacted a woman of low character or one who was inferior to you? Have you taken your meal without providing for old men and boys that deserve to dine with you? Have you committed some other abominable act? Or are you feeling empty due to having lost your most intimate friend, Lord Krishna? Arjun, I can think of no other reason for your having become so utterly dejected. Extremely grief-stricken in separation from Krishna, Arjun's mouth and heart dried up. His voice choked and he couldn't reply to Yudhisthira. Checking his tears and heavy breathing, Arjun remembered Parthasarathi driving his chariot and so many other friendly gestures of the Lord. And at every moment, Arjun's affection was increasing for the Lord. At last, Arjun said, O King, Sri Krishna treated me like an intimate friend. He has left me. And thus my prowess, which was astonishing even to the demigods, is no longer with me. I have lost him whose momentary absence would render all the universes void like a lifeless body. It was only because Krishna had mercifully empowered me that I was able to vanquish the princes at Draupadi's Swayamvar and conquer over Indra and the demigods so that Agni could devour the Kandava forest. It was Krishna alone that enabled Bhima to kill Jarasand, and it was Krishna who saved us from Durvasa Muni's wrath. It was by Krishna's influence alone that I was able to astonish Shiva by my fighting ability and therefore reach the heavenly planets. Great warriors like Bhijma and Drona, Karna, Burishrava, Susharma, Shalya, Jayadrat, and Malika released their invincible weapons at me during the battle of Kurukshetra. But by Krishna's grace, they could not harm me at all. O King Yudhisthira, Sri Krishna and I used to eat together, sleep together, and we would leisurely enjoy life together. We used to brag about our respective powers, and if Krishna would exaggerate, I would reproach him by sarcastically saying, Oh Bhai, you're speaking very truthfully. Due to the intimacy of our relationship, Krishna would always excuse these utterances that minimize his value, just as a true friend forgives his friend. Krishna's joking and frank talks were always beautifully decorated with his transcendental smiles, and thus they were extremely pleasing. Now, as I remember those talks with Krishna, I am overwhelmed by grief due to separation from him. My heart feels void. In Krishna's absence, I have been defeated by a band of cowherd dacoits while escorting Krishna's queens to Hastinapur. I am the same Arjun, and the same chariot, the same horses, and the same Gandiva and arrows, But in the absence of my Lord, all of these became useless. O King, for the Dwarkavasis, I must inform you that they were cursed by the Brahmanas, became mad by drinking rice wine, fought among themselves, and only 4 or 5 of them still live. All this is due to the will of the Supreme Lord, as bigger aquatics swallow the smaller fish. So Sri Krishna, to lighten the burden of the earth, has engaged the stronger Yadus in killing the weaker ones. Oh, my dear brother, I want to take shelter of those instructions Krishna gave me, for I know that his teachings are the only way to soothe my burning heart. There's some explanation about these queens. Who were these queens of Dwarka that were kidnapped by the coward dacoits when being accompanied by Arjun? It's not what it sounds like. The Vishnu Puran and Brahma Puran explain that once the Swarga Devis pleased the great Muni Ashtavakra, they got a boon that Krishna would become their husband. Ashtavakra means 8 bends or 8 curves, Ashtavakra. So he walked in a very strange way. These same Swarga Devis, at another time, they laughed at him. He became angry and cursed them to be kidnapped by rogues in spite of becoming Krishna's wives. The girls pacified Ashtavakra, so he blessed them by saying they would once again regain their husband after being kidnapped. To preserve Ashtavakra's words, Krishna personally became the cowherd dacoits and kidnapped his own wives. Otherwise, if materialistic men or dacoits had touched Krishna's wives, they would have immediately been annihilated. After Krishna's departure from this world, he created various situations for calling his entourage back home, back to Godhead. Meanwhile, Arjuna started deeply meditating on the teachings he received in the Bhagavad Gita and reflecting on Krishna's lotus feet. This pacified and freed him of all material contamination. In reality, of course, Arjuna never actually forgot Krishna's instructions, but due to his intense Bhagavan Viraha, separation from Sri Krishna, as well as the influence of Krishna's Yoga Maya, it appeared to be so. Yudhisthira decided to leave home and go back to Godhead after hearing of Krishna's disappearance. Kunti became similarly determined, and she absorbed herself in Krishna Bhakti. From the very day that Krishna left this world, Kali personified became fully manifest, so that innumerable inauspicious conditions were created. Yudhisthira enthroned Parikshit, his grandson, as the emperor of the world, and posted Aniruddha's son, Vajra, at Mathura to rule the kingdom of Shurasen. Maharaj performed a Prajapatya sacrifice in order to accept the renounced order of life. Discarding his royal robes and ornaments, Yudhisthira, dressed in torn cloth, gave up all solid food, let his hair hang down, jata, and voluntarily took a vow of moan, silence. Thus, having the appearance of a madman, Yudhisthira became completely disinterested in everything, even his brothers. He pretended not to hear anything like a deaf man. He departed to the north to absorb himself in thought of the Lord. The other Pandavas followed Yudhisthira, meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna along the way. Wrapped in meditation this way, the Pandavas all attain Krishna's supreme abode in Goloka Vrindavan and their very same bodies. Vidura left the palace, continued traveling on pilgrimage to Dwarka, to Prabhas, a Kshetra, and he gave up his body and assumed his post as Yamaraj, the lord of Pitriloka. Seeing the Pandavas leaving home without caring for her, Draupadi absorbed her mind fully in Lord Krishna, and so did Subhadra, and thus they attained the same result as their exalted husbands.